When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. Gerard Mayo will join us during the 9 o'clock hour this morning before that Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. We're going to get to They Said It in a minute, but Moody has been hanging on patiently to talk about Courtney's lead, which was about Jason Kelce and what happened over the weekend with the Penn State fan and their phone. And Moody, good morning. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
My first name's Anthony. I go by my last name's Moody.
Oh, excellent. We appreciate that. Good to know.
Thank you.
What's up?
Yep. No. Like, with the whole thing, did they smash the phone?
Yes.
Yeah, I did the same thing to this hooker. Like, I paid her $200 for the whole night. She didn't put out.
Uh-huh.
And I took her phone, took her SIM card out, burnt it, smashed her phone, and I had to go to court for like 5 months. I just got out of the court case.
Thanks. Good luck.
So sorry to hear that.
Great. I mean, he paid his money. You would think that would be something there.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
He took the SIM card out. That was nice.
Hot start.
Yeah, hot start. Monday, 7 o'clock call. That's a,
hanging on for a long time,
he
too.
Was.
For that.
He
yeah.
really was.
I mean,
that's
really
commitment.
Was.
And I appreciate the explanation as to the last name before getting so in-depth about your personal life.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
100%.
Do you think he's tired or bummed?
Both.
Okay.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well.
Could use a Red Bull.
A lot of people drinking their sorrows away when it comes to the New England Patriots. I understand
it. Oh, man. Hey, the 7 a.m. would be late for me to start drinking.
I understand it. All right, Chime, let's get to They Said It.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Chime, where do you want to start this morning?
Well, let's start with your New England Patriots. Kendrick Bourne spoke after the game. He talked about Drake May and how excited people should be that he is here in the building and how good of an aura this kid really has.
Yeah, we got to just build. We have to build. He gives us a lot of potential to grow in. I think that's what's the greatest thing about Drake. He's doing things that you don't really see at a young age, so I'm very excited. And I want to be better for him. I think everybody understands in our offensive room that we have something in him that can make everybody better. You know, he has the aura to him. You just know that he's going to go out there and do his thing. He's going to play. He's not scared. And that's somebody you want to follow.
All right. Well, as long as we stop mid-shaft, right, and then to get our aura going.
Yep, that's where you started.
I I like Drake May. I told
that
you.
That was Courtney's.
It's just always on the dome.
It's low-hanging fruit, right?
I mean, that's what we're here for. That's why you have Northeast Men's Health.
I just feel like I'm not disappointed at all in any way. Yeah, you lost. Guess what? You're first when it comes to draft position, and you, if the season ended today, you'd have the number one pick. Drake May looks like he has the ability to be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. So for me, every week that I watch these games, I'm excited to see Drake May's growth. And if the team
and
loses,
the rest, you don't care about.
Yeah, for me, if they lose, I'm a little bit happy because it just allows us to have the best possible draft position.
Now that you've seen four starts from him in the NFL, four actual regular season starts, Who's his comp from your perspective?
He has a lot of, and I know it's a lot of people say this, but he has a lot of Josh Allen in him.
Just slightly smaller in the frame, yes, which concerns me a bit. But, yeah.
Don't be as physical of a runner as Josh. Like, Josh will run over guys, hurdle
You'll
guys.
See contact.
Yeah, like, I think if he kind of goes with the Josh Allen plan where he can create, like, yesterday's play at the end of the game, that's a Josh Allen play. You know,
Josh Allen literally made a very similar play in that Bills-Miami game.
Right, and just I would say, hey, just protect yourself a little bit more because you're not as big as a guy like Josh Allen. Slide, get you some, you know, get
you. The fact that he did not slide virtually at all yesterday is wild.
It was
to me.
I love it so much.
And the one time he did, there were like eight guys standing around, and it was like they were giving him a free pass.
Right.
It was wild. Shine, weren't you panicked every time he did it?
Not at all. That kid is a baller. Like, it's just the way he – it's just his mentality. He doesn't care. Like, he even said, he's like, I'm going to force you to stop turning your back to me. I'm going to run it. If I run for 100 yards, I run for 100 yards. But eventually, like, when this offense can actually, I don't know, run the football with someone not named Drake May, those things will stop happening and he'll be throwing it even more.
And not to do conspiracy theories, but it felt like a middle finger to his offensive coordinator who had said publicly – that he needs to learn how to slide, and he went out of his way to avoid it. The biggest loser through four starts, you asked Wiggy, the biggest winner is the Patriots, the biggest loser. Every Dan Orlovsky, who waxed poetic about how dumb it was for the Patriots to even contemplate putting him behind this team. The whole team shifted.
Right.
And how they look on offense because of one person.
Yeah. Right. And I'd hate to be the guy who goes, man, imagine if you were to put him in week one where he would potentially be right now in his development.
And you'd have a season. I don't know how good they'd be, but they'd be around 500.
Yeah, you'd be competitive, right? If you're a team that's sitting there right now at
4-5.
4-5, you're still in the hunt. Yep. You're still in the mix. Yeah.
Well, Jerod Mayo may regret that because he did guarantee on this show that they would be over four wins this season, and they're getting farther and farther away from that.
Yeah.
Because
I think we all, this was another week where first it was the Jacksonville game, and then it was the Tennessee game where like, oh, Pats
win this
game.
They win this game if Drake May starts and he gets through protocol, they win this game.
Yeah, and now it's like, where do you see them winning another game?
Right.
I mean,
maybe the Bears aren't playing great.
Yeah, but. I mean, you can't beat the Titans or the Jacksonville.
But you beat the Jets?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's go to another team that's trying to get back on track here. That would be your Boston Bruins. After the game yesterday, here's what Jim Montgomery said about how he felt the team played.
I loved our first period, disliked our second. Very similar to the Flyer game. I love the effort on blocking shots. I love us sticking together. Freddie tonight defending Poitras last night, how we stuck together at the end of the game against the Flyers. So you can see us coming together. We're protecting the slot. We're sacrificing for each other, which is the start. Our execution still needs to continue to grow. Our maturity as a team as far as game management still needs to grow. We're winning games, though, now, and you don't give up goals, and your goaltenders play as well as we did. It's a good step. We're heading in the right direction. November's been much better than October.
So your expectation on Jim Montgomery and how secure that job is, did it change? That's back-to-back shutouts for this hockey team. I mean,
on Saturday morning, there was a report Ken cited at NHL.com. So, you know, not really a crazy Sun type of report.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he was coaching for his job in so many words. So if they hit another stumble, if they stumble again in the next couple weeks, he's the fall guy this year.
Yeah.
And then Don Sweeney gets to hire his last coach, and then it's on him.
But I think he makes it through the season. I don't. I
think it'd be an upset.
I think if I see him making it through the season, because I think they still have enough talent that they're going to be in the mix. They're going to be competitive. I just like, and the only way he don't make it through the season is they completely fall off. But do you see that happening with this team?
Well, I mean, they just have. I mean, it's two games that they've turned it around.
Right.
I mean, they're, you know.
And they've beaten the Flyers and the Kraken, not exactly.
No. You know. But I'm saying if he doesn't make it, that means come the trade deadline, it looks like they're completely out of it.
Do you think Jackson's a big Kraken fan?
I have no idea. All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, next, one of the prospective players coming out of the NCAA that the Patriots could get in the draft would be Travis Hunter out of Colorado. A lot of people all geeked up about the idea of possibly drafting Travis Hunter. Here is what Travis Hunter said about wearing the number 12 when he comes to the NFL, and if he'd try to do that in New England.
If I don't get number 12, bro, I'm going number 48.
You get in 12, man.
Bro, what if I go to the Patriots, bro? I'm not finna wear Tom Brady number, bro. That's too much legacy in that jersey. Kenny, I respect Tom Brady too much.
That's true.
I gotta respect Tom Brady too much to try to get number 12.
So if you go to the Bucks, you ain't gonna wear 12. You wear 12 at the Bucks. Super Bowl and all.
I can wear 12 there. He ain't spent 15 years there. Yeah. I'm wearing 12 there, gang.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's probably the way it should be. I mean, I don't know about if you're not going to wear it here. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl wearing it in Tampa Bay, so you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, but he's right, though. I mean, Tom was only there for, what, a couple of years here? He basically was, you know, 20 years.
You want him on this team?
I would take him, but he's not a wide receiver. So, for me, he's going to play defensive back in the NFL, my opinion. I don't think he's going to play wide receiver in the NFL. So getting him doesn't really do anything for where I think the Patriots should be looking for is an offensive player. So I wouldn't draft him.
You want them to go, when it comes to improving the line, you want them to go the free agency route, correct?
Yeah, I think you can find a lot of guys in free agency that you could play. And I think if you wanted to, you could find a guy in the second round that you can plug in as well as some free agents. You got to go. You can't be at the bottom shelf of free agency with offensive line. You got to at least be in the middle, if not to the top. But if you're in the middle of the free agency offensive line, I think you can find enough guys. The question becomes, if you do have, let's say, a top three pick, what do you want to do with it?
Well, if you stay where you are now, you got the number one pick. Would you rather get a haul? Get a haul for that. And
I would see.
If there's some, you know, what if there's some wide receiver that's
not going to go?
Yeah,
first.
But the only thing is, this year, if you look at it, some of the top wide receivers are. You got the kid from Arizona, Tetaroa McMillan, who's a good wide receiver. But there's not that like Marvin Harrison Jr. guy. There's not even like the Malik Neighbors. Yeah, like this, and there's not those guys. So for me, I would say if I'm number one, I would try to move that pick and try to get a haul for that.
Okay, anything else, Sean?
Yeah, I got one more for you here. So yesterday in the Saints-Panthers game, which was just an epic disaster, the great Derek Carr, who's now lost to 31 different NFL franchises, became the first quarterback in NFL history to do that, by the way. He threw a pass to Chris Olave, and Chris Olave was very injured on the play, concussed. It was terrible. And so former Saints receiver Michael Thomas decided to rip Derek Carr apart on Twitter, just tweet after tweet talking about how Derek Carr is dog doo-doo and only throws hospital balls and this and that. And so Derek Carr was asked about it right after losing to the Panthers. Here is what Derek Carr said.
I have love for Mike, and when he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously. You know, I've had so many teammates over the years, and he's like the one dude that didn't get along with me, you know. And I don't know what I did to him. I don't know why he feels that way. I'm sorry, you know, for whatever he's dealing with to make him feel like he's got to do that. I don't know, you know, but he's never called me during any of this, you know. My phone number has never changed. I've in fact called him on different occasions, you know, just to try. And sometimes you can try as hard as you want, and it just doesn't work out, and that's okay.
I love it.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, it's sad, but at the same time, it's like, he's like, the guy doesn't like me. I've never did anything to him. I don't know what's going on. I've called him. He can call me.
But, I mean, Michael Thomas is echoing what Brady has said. I mean, that it is on, Brady has ripped, not now because he can't, but in the past, he's ripped the over-officiated receiver calls where they make everything pass interference, where they protect the receiver. And he said that it's the job of the quarterback, not the referee, to put the ball in a position where the receiver can make the catch without being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think,
by the way, speaking of commenting on officials, Tom Brady may be in trouble.
Yes.
For what he said this weekend.
The NFL and the NCAA has sort of like combined when it comes to these ejections.
So dumb.
It's so stupid. Oh. In college football, it's targeting. It's the dumbest thing in the world. And there was a play in the Packers-Lions game where there was an ejection, and Tom Brady said that it's obviously a penalty, but in a game like this, a huge NFC matchup in the middle of the year, you can't eject a guy. And according to the New York Post, that would be subject to the NFL owners penalizing Tom Brady because he is a minority owner.
With a fine of some kind.
That's so dumb.
Which is so stupid because it's not even the game that his Raiders are in. Like, right. So why would it matter?
He's going to find himself in these situations over and over again.
That's his job.
But that's why he's only going to do it. Curtis, you've been on this. It's only going to be this year, and then he's not going to do it anymore.
I agree.
You don't think so?
Yeah, because those are things that you want to hear from the color commentary guy.
Yeah.
But if Brady knows he can't say those things, he can't be critical of certain things because of he's got to be real careful. What's the purpose of you doing this job if you can't really do it?
Or he says F it and just gets fined over and over again.
Right, but that's not really Brady's MO.
Well, I mean, but I think Brady wants to be seen as going into this booth and proving himself. So
right, but that's for this year. Doesn't he eventually move into, and I think it was Mark Davis who said this, that Brady's going to help pick the next coach, he's going to help find the quarterback.
I think Courtney's saying that he, and there's nothing wrong with this, he likes the attention of doing the Fox.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think he wants to prove people wrong who said that he's...
You can't do both when you become basically the president of player football operations.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, one season. But I'm saying for the rest of this season, I think he wants to prove that he is good at doing this. So if he's going to get fined, how much are they going to fine him?
Oh, who knows?
Like,
And in the Super Bowl, if there's a bang-bang play that he disagrees with, he's not going to say something in front of a billion
people. And if you're right, if he knows that this is his last year.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. All right, we are at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Patriots Monday after another loss. Patriots move to 2-7. We will talk to Jerod Mayo about that coming up at 9. Before that, though, Boomer Esiason will join us in about 45 minutes at 8. And here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Patriots fall to 2-7 on the season with an overtime loss to the Titans in Nashville. Drake May completed 29 of 41 passes for 206 yards and a touchdown while throwing two interceptions. We've got a Monday Night Football game tonight. The Bucks at Chiefs, 8:15 kickoff. You can listen to that right here on EEI. NFL trade deadline is tomorrow. We'll talk to Boomer Esiason and Jerod Mayo this morning about all of it. The Celtics take on the Hawks tonight in Atlanta, 7:45 tip. And the Bruins shut out the Kraken yesterday, 2-0. Swayman had 23 saves in the win. And everyone is buzzing about Sugar Bee apples, now on sale at Shaw's and Star Market. Yes, Sugar Bee apples are just 97 cents a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 5 pounds. Short on time, order free curbside pickup or get delivery. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 32 degrees outside, afternoon high, cloudy in the mid-50s.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. Also a Mayo Monday. That's Jerod Mayo postgame, and we'll talk to him further about that coming up at 9. Curtis, you didn't necessarily like that explanation from Jerod Mayo.
No, I just felt like such an unbelievable moment. Let's see if we can win or lose it. You don't have the players on the field. You're going to risk more injury in another quarter of football. And to me, I know they were out of timeouts, right? So they had called two timeouts on the drive of the Titans, so they didn't have a time to sort of diagram something, and it was kind of flying by the seat of their pants, so it's not like they were first and goal at the one, and they knew they were going to inevitably score, so they had a period of time where they could think up a couple, what their best two-point play was given the matchup. But it just, I don't think there's a soul in our listening audience that would be ripping Mayo if they went for two and lost.
I'm sure there would be. To me, it was just a confusing answer by him because he has been so forthcoming, a bit too forthcoming when answering questions. So to say that's a great question, I understand it, but I'm not going to get into that right now. It's like, well, the game just ended. This is when you're going to get into it. Of course you're going to be asked about this and just be honest with what happened there.
Right, but he's coaching real football. We're sitting here wanting him to coach Madden football. Yes.
Wiggy, Dan Campbell, if that's the Lions.
Dan Campbell's style.
But Wiggy, there's a bunch of coaches knowing if they score, they would go for two.
Let me ask this question. Would the majority of the coaches in that situation say, let's kick the extra point, let's see if we can go to overtime, let's see if we can win the coin toss, we have a chance to win it there, put ourselves in a better position?
That's a safe way.
I think that's the majority of coaches.
See, I disagree. I think more than 50% of the coaches would just go for two and win the game.
So then why haven't we seen that before? Why don't
we have seen it multiple times last year.
Why don't we see it more often than if it's 50% of the time? You see plenty of games like that where...
It's not a common ending that you score with no time on the clock to tie a game.
No, but you have scored with, let's call it, 30 seconds left in a game or something like that. You could go for two to win the game versus... kicking the extra point.
But 30 seconds is even different because if you kick it out of bounds and they get the ball at the 30 and they have a couple plays to get into field goal range anyway, so it's not a guaranteed win.
But I'm saying that is we've seen games where a lot of teams are playing for the overtime where it comes to that point, whether it's a 30 seconds on the clock, 15 seconds, or whatever it is. My point is if that's something that you know when you get to an overtime potential situation – we would see more teams going for two to try to win football.
Well, I think you have to look at the situation that the teams are in.
And I think a
win or a loss here doesn't really matter much to the New England Patriots. That's why when you said it this morning, start of the show, Curtis, I agree with you. Like, why not go for it? As I said earlier, big analytics guy here.
Huge.
I think the odds are better that you get that 2-point conversion than you go and win in overtime. I think the odds are more in your favor on that.
And Courtney's point about what he said after the game, I have a concern that it's not up to him.
Right.
Yeah.
That is really which is such a backwards way to build.
Yeah, but there's no way. Then who would be saying?
I don't know. It just the answer.
That answer to me, I felt the same exact way because he wants to get on the same page with whoever's idea or whoever's call it was to make sure everybody's giving the same narrative.
So there's a red phone up in the booth.
No, I think that Van Pelt is the head coach of the offense.
Yeah, but I get that. But if Mayo wanted to go for two, I think Mayo would have the right to say, "All right,
we'll
go
ask
for two."
Him.
We'll ask him, and we'll also say, mate.
He's going to say, oh, no, it's up to Van Pelt?
Of course not. But but the issue with what we're discussing is the absence of a timeout, the way in which Drake May had been running around in that backfield, finally finding Stevenson for the touchdown, everybody to catch their breath, get settled, get to the line, and score from the 3-yard line was probably difficult. And my guess is Van Pelt said to Gerard, if it is a back and forth, I think we're gassed. Let's get to overtime.
Do you have an issue with him running through his timeouts there, or he had?
No, I actually liked it. I find that there's a lot of guys much different game. But in the AFC Championship in Kansas City, when the Patriots were going down in overtime to score and win the game, I felt like Andy Reid could have called a couple timeouts to try and reset his defense a little bit.
Yeah.
So I like what Mayo did. I thought the Titans coach was totally gutless. 4th and 2, kicking a field goal when a touchdown wins the game. I was like, does nobody want to win this thing? I was shocked.
All right, this is Coach, if he's still there, Shy. This Coach. Hey, Coach.
Yes, I'm still here.
What's up?
Good morning. Obviously, I love the show. What you're talking about now is a more sexy question. I want to say that up front, whether to go for the win or overtime. But I'm begging you. I really am. I'm begging you to ask him the mindset in the first half. At the end of the half, with 2 minutes and 3 timeouts, you throw the ball to the left sideline twice to Bourne for nice gains. By the way, I couldn't even believe they were passing. I thought they would take a knee. Anyway, you get out of the shadow of your own goalpost. You're out on about your 40. The second pass to Bourne was only 9 yards, so you have 2nd and 1. I understand running up the middle and trying to make the first down. You don't make it, and then you literally watch the clock tick over 1 minute and 10 seconds, and you eventually run the ball without a timeout, still have three in the bank, and get stuffed again and punt. I don't understand. You start out aggressive in your own end throwing, and then you turtle up and let the clock run out. I just need you to ask him what the thinking is there.
Okay, we will.
Yeah, on second and one, I take a shot in that situation. I take a shot, and then on third and one, I run the football, or maybe I have a quick pass or play action. I use Drake May's legs to kind of give us a run-pass option, and I'm trying to score. At that point, it really didn't seem like they were trying to score because they went coach is right. It was second and one. They went run, and then it's like, what was that all about? You know, when you can obviously go after some points.
That's been an issue all season, and Belichick has rightfully called it out with McAfee. The end of the half has been bizarre. We noted it last week against the Jets. It's just I just don't think Alex Van Pelt has a position that he should have. And Gerard Mayo, when McVay went to the Rams and he was a young, offensive-minded coach who was there a little early, they had Wade Phillips, a brilliant defensive coach that took over the defense, took it off his plate, and he handled it and created a great defensive scheme. The Patriots with Gerard Mayo, a defensive coach, a defensive player, with Alex Van Pelt and a rookie quarterback, just feels like a bad mix.
Yeah, I think that if they were going to look back, and hindsight being 2020, that they would have, they should have, and would have liked to add some sort of veteran, advisory, somebody on the staff who had some years.
I thought that was McAdoo. I thought that was Ben McAdoo's role.
Is he still around?
He's basically here for the mustache. It is an amazing thing.
Yeah,
but he's
here because he's cheap. I mean, if we're going
to
be honest.
Well, I think there's a good question to ask Mayo in that situation. Second and one, are you saying to him, hey, let's take a shot here, or are you completely stepping away and allow him the ability?
He doesn't seem like he is, though. I mean,
But we wouldn't know, like, on the headset if he said, let's take a shot at second and one here. Let's try to get out of this half with some points.
This is Tom from Hull. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hey, guys, how you doing? 2-6, you absolutely 100% go for two in the win, especially after that play Drake made. Remember, our offense was running around. The defense was running around, too. So both groups are gassed. Who's going to suck up and either make the stop or win the game? I think that Pats, they weren't ready for it. A lesson learned, I hope, by Coach Mayo, because 1,000% they should have went for 2 points. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully he learns from this. And now, like I said, if it's 6-2, all day you go to overtime. 2-6, you go up for 2 in the win.
Yeah,
and that I agree with Curtis. I think I'm just giving the other side on why they maybe.
But Scheim is pointing out that a guy, you're pointing out a difference. And again, Gerard Mayo's a rookie. Mm-hmm. It's his first season as a head coach, so you make an allowance there. But he's talking about the mentality of a guy like Dan Campbell versus a guy maybe like Gerard Mayo.
Right, but Dan Campbell's always been aggressive, right? That's his way of coaching.
But don't you want that?
You want it, but also sometimes it could come back to bite you in the butt.
And he was criticized before. It's like chicken or the egg. When Dan Campbell was overly aggressive and the Lions weren't as successful, he was a punchline.
Yeah.
And now that you have Goff and you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, you have.
It's a little bit easier to be aggressive.
I do think that right now, if we were sitting here today and they had gone for two yesterday and didn't get it, people would be criticizing Gerard Mayo for doing that as well. So I'm not on the side of nobody would have been mad at Gerard Mayo if they went for two and didn't get it.
But don't you think Mayo could win the locker room by saying, "I just trusted our guys; they just had a great drive."
Yeah. Yep. If he comes out and says, "You know," they go, "Why did you go for two?" Because I was confident that we could come away with it, and I want to be aggressive, and I think we have the talent to do that. I don't think anybody has an issue with that.
This is Chuck. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Great.
Good morning.
What's up?
Question. I drive to work every day. Listen to you guys. Wiggy, I remember you from East Boston High. My question is, if he would have went for two, everyone would have criticized Gerard Mayo. This man has been criticized from day one. Okay. Wiggy, I'll give you an example. You played in the NFL for the Patriots, correct?
Yep.
So how much of what you learned in New England you could run at Brockton High? You can't do it because it's two different levels. Gerard Mayo played for Bill Belichick. Gerard Mayo knows football. Robert Kraft did not want to pay for players. He did not want to pay for an offense coordinator. So now what you have is Alex Van Pelt, who's a first-year guy who may not know what he's doing, and you have Gerard Mayo, whose hands are tied because he doesn't have the players.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the personnel to do what he wants to do. And it really irks me because every day is Gerard Mayo can't do this. They got guys in the NFL who are coaches who are analytical guys and have no idea about that football, no idea about the analytics. Yeah. And these guys don't get as criticized. Boston's got to cut this daggone narrative about this guy can't coach. He is handcuffed people.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate it.
He's right.
I think early on there was a lot of anger because people were more mad about Bill not being here than Gerard. And I think there's a lot of people that are sort of wait and see. But the Patriots are 2-7, and have we gotten a single call in the last 2 weeks about wanting him fired?
No. If you look on Twitch, if you look on the text line, there's a lot there.
I know,
there.
But people that exist in real life and then actually have accountability.
I think after London, I think there were people
who
were like, you know, what's going on here?
That was the inflection point, and then the players came back.
I think they felt it here in the building.
Definitely.
Because there were some things that started to be whispered about second thoughts during the summer or whatever.
But Bedard was wrong on that one, like he's mostly wrong.
But the call is right. Through the whole year, since up until this point, 80% of the narrative is that Mayo's inexperienced, Mayo can't do this, Mayo can't do that. Like, that's been 80% of the narrative. And granted, let's understand that I get the Jacksonville game and the soft comment, but it's been prior to that, it was Mayo doesn't have enough experience. Like, that's anything anybody says is like, oh, he doesn't have enough experience. He doesn't have, and then my thing is like, well, every first-year coach that's hired doesn't have experience as being a head coach.
Right.
So, like, where is this whole – like, unless you're somebody who's coached in the NFL before, when you're a first-year head coach, guess what? You don't have experience, whether you were an offensive coordinator somewhere or not, because you didn't run a team.
Yeah, and I think the fact that it's been so different than it was also led people to question the approach, where you have a guy that was so successful for a generation, and you have a new campaign – a new coaching staff that's basically bragging that they're doing it 180 degrees from the way it was done. Patriots fans, I think, a lot of cases, rightly so, were like, well, it wasn't that bad here. They won a lot in that way. So I think that's been the case. But if they went for two and failed,
right,
my guess, I'm often wrong, would have been Alex Van Pelt critique more than Gerard Mayo. If he did like a toss to Stevenson and he gets tripped up in the backfield, I don't think people are ripping Mayo as much as they're ripping Alex Van Pelt.
But you think that that decision is made by Alex Van Pelt and Alex Van Pelt alone?
In the moment, I didn't. When I heard Gerard Mayo in the post game, I thought about was when I was bombed trying to figure out to get my story straight about where we got the empties from.
Yeah. Like, when he says, good question, but I'm not going to talk about it?
Right. Yeah. What else would you talk about after the game?
Right. Yeah.
That's the only storyline.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of talking about it, Patriots are 2-7, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We will get Boomer Esiason's thoughts on that game yesterday for the Patriots and the rest of the NFL coming up at 8. It's the Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and Boomer Esiason will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk Patriots loss yesterday and the rest of the NFL with Boomer. And then Gerard Mayo will be here with us at 9 this morning. This is Jim from New Hampshire. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Morning, everybody.
What's up?
So go back to the tape. When they score the touchdown, they flash to the crap box. You can read Jonathan's lips saying they should go for two.
Uh-oh. All fired today, then.
Uh-oh.
Did not see that.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that either. It's kind of nitpicky. It's like you got to overtime, and you had a chance to win the football game.
But it was just so deflating to have that kind of a play. And then, by the way, you were, what, 6 inches from missing the extra point? It snuck inside the right goalpost there.
Yeah.
But, it was a ugly – up until that final drive, the game was abhorrent.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. It's the product sucks.
Their defense is just like we all thought it was going to be, you know, this defense that was going to be a top. I thought it was going to be a top 10 defense. I was like, man, do they even have the – they might have the talent to sneak into the top five, but their D is just –
What was the biggest miss for us all postseason or preseason? Was it the fact that we put so much emphasis on the O-line sucking and not enough on not having any receivers, or the fact that we thought that the defense was going to be great and they're not? Because we were completely off the mark.
I would say if the defense is healthy, if you have Peppers, and that's not a health thing, that's a decision thing, but you have Peppers,
Barmore,
and Bentley,
yeah,
the team is much different.
Right.
Jelani Tavai is a guy that had a couple plays. Obviously, the interception in the end zone was a big play. But he is, there's plays where he just doesn't get off blocks at all. He's just getting pushed down the field. And it's not his fault. I don't think he's a middle linebacker by trade. But the defense is tough to watch. And, I mean, Mason
Maybe it
Rudolph,
might be a run defense, too, though. Because your secondary's not bad. Like, when you think about your pass defense, you know, obviously with Christian Gonzalez, you go, all right, that's not bad. The secondary, they do a good job. But it seems like they're always getting gashed on the run. And, yeah, that's probably because you got, like you said, Barmore, you got Bentley.
They're just not disciplined on defense or offense. Like, how many times is there a stop or a first down and you're like, oh, flag? And it's not some ticky-tack call. I mean, if they call holding, yeah, 9 times out of 10, they're, like, tackling the guy in the backfield.
This is Alex, or as he likes to be referred to, Butter Guy. Butter Guy.
Hey, thanks for taking the phone call. Happy birthday, Greg.
Thank you.
Did you celebrate this weekend?
I didn't celebrate it this weekend. Oh, okay. I might extend it into next year.
Yeah,
maybe.
Birthday month.
Put it off for a little bit. Yes. Go ahead, Butter Guy.
Yeah, no, if I could just speak to Kraft directly if possible. I think it's pretty unanimous that all New England fans think that Drake May is the future. He has it. He has that X factor. Kendrick Bourne just talked about it. His play inspires all the guys. Unfortunately, the guys all suck. So Kraft, 4 years ago, he blindly spent $250 million just picking the best free agents like Aguilar, Bourne, Henry, Jonnu Smith, Judon. Well, this time he has a chance to spend $250 million again and actually strategically use that money to build around Drake. So now's the chance for Kraft to prove that he's actually a fan of the team and not just some owner who's in it for the money. So thanks for taking the phone call.
Yeah. Well, I, Curtis, you don't think he will, or you're concerned that he won't.
I would just say if you want to judge on someone, on what someone will do, look at what they have done. And I do not have faith that Robert Kraft will spend massively in free agency.
But he had built-in bulletproof shields. He had the greatest quarterback of all time that you could hide not having to spend money. And you had Bill Belichick to make it seem like, well, the reason why we're not spending money is because Bill doesn't think we should spend money. He's
so
in
now
a position.
He doesn't have that anymore.
What's he gonna say if they go out and they don't spend any money? Because everything is going to be pointed at Robert Kraft and Jonathan. Like, well, you got all this money. Why are you not actively utilizing it to make your team better?
If you're going to go in order of need,
uh-huh,
and I'll include an offensive coordinator in there, what is, you know, fixing the line, wide receiver, like
receiver.
Legit? Like,
oh, yeah.
you would put wide receiver
first. Yeah, number one.
I would go left tackle. Wide receiver.
You wouldn't put the coordinator in there?
Actually, I mean, I think even Van Pelt could be better if they had a line that could protect. But no, the left tackle, everybody says there's a guy, what is his name, Shime at LSU?
Yeah, but he's kind of like struggled. He's been
really
struggling at least. The most important position is the wide receiver. No matter what anybody says, don't let them fool you. Yeah, I know offensive line, but guess what? You can find offensive linemen. You can find guys in free agency. You can, you know, put some solid, decent players together.
You need a stud.
If you have the quarterback and you have that legit wide receiver, then you have a legitimate chance of being a team that can really do damage. And that's the thing that they're missing. The question is, where does that legitimate wide receiver come from? Is it from free agency? Is it from a trade? Or is it, in your mind, from picking high in the draft? I don't know. The free agent class of wide receivers is what? T. Higgins?
Yeah, and receivers are now like quarterbacks. If they're great, they don't get to free agency.
Right, so you have to trade for one.
Exactly. Well, you could have also just, like, what I view as tomorrow, outside of our existential crisis, is that you need to do homework. This is like summer school, right? If they are able to get a Crosby, or they're able to acquire a tackle, or do something, fill a couple of holes, not big ones maybe, but make your off-season to-do list shorter by tomorrow at 4 p.m. Whatever it is, whether it's a guard or it's depth on the line. Like,
regardless of who you have to give up, minus Drake May and Christian Gonzalez.
I mean, right? If you could get a lineman that will help protect May the rest of the season to better give him an opportunity to learn the ropes of the NFL without getting hurt, I think it's a smart thing to do. I think if you want to offload, you could do both. You could be schizophrenic. You could buy and sell because the wins and losses are not as relevant. But I do think that they have the opportunity to bring in some depressed assets from other organizations, able to pick up whatever the contract is. That's not a problem. And then see where they fit in. And then by the time you get to June or March or whatever, yeah, you have some things figured out that you didn't before the offseason.
All right. Well, we will get to talk about that and other things with Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday when he joins us next from Gillette Stadium.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.